Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, Fridays are all about food here at WAMC. Food we make, food we serve, food we eat. Nothing says happy Valentine's Day like a nice romantic meal, but what makes a meal romantic? How can we spice up what we serve, or how can we find the perfect dining experience to mark this day of love and make it special? Well, I don't know about the love part, but we have some fantastic folks in the studio who can talk about food, give you a few pointers. Albany Marriott executive chef Nathan Kutcher started out as a dishwasher and worked his way to the top. He studied the culinary arts at Paul Smith's College and Le Cordon Bleu in Paris. He has worked at the Boston Marriott and the Mohonk Mountain House Resort. His favorite dish to whip up is barbecue ribs, and how could you go wrong? A food and beverage director, Vito Gaudino, has a culinary arts degree from Schenectady County Community College and has previously worked at Mazzone Hospitality. His favorite dish is lasagna with Italian red wine, and again, how can you go wrong? Steve Shifley has a culinary arts degree from Paul Smith's College. He's been at the Albany Marriott for 25 years and worked in nearly every aspect of the food service business. Also, he makes a mean apple maple cream pie, and again, how can you go wrong? Nathan, Vito, Steve, guys, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Good afternoon.
Nice to make it through the snow and into the studio here today. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question for our esteemed panel, you can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page. It's Vox Pop on our website, so it's wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Or you can call us, 800-348-2551. And we like that, 1-800-348-2551. So, Nathan, Vito, Steve, I was pointed to a great article in Bon Appetit. It's a few years old now. It says, why you shouldn't eat out on Valentine's Day. There's five listed reasons. One, amateur night. Like New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day attracts restaurant novices, those people that complain too much about their weight or their table or their undercooked steak. Two, inflation. The free glass of champagne with your dinner really means we've raised the price of food items to make up for it. Three, miserable staff. No, not everyone will be miserable, just most of them. They know the amateurs, see number one, will test their patience and tip poorly. Plus, they'd rather be home on Valentine's Day. Four, mediocre food. Even the best chefs cook at their worst on Valentine's Day. I'm going to ask you about that. It's a turn-and-burn night, and the chef just wants to get through it without too many screw-ups. And finally, five, overcrowding. Exactly what is romantic about eating in a loud, packed-to-the-rafters dining room. All right, now, this is like 60 minutes. Now, I've set this out in front of you, gentlemen, and let's see if you can refute it. We'll start with Steve.
I think that's a busy night for us, but I don't think it's amateur night. We have a lot of opportunities for people. We try not to overcrowd them. I think the industry itself, it takes a lot of pride in that night. Luckily, the weather's cooperating with us tonight, so I think everybody's set up to have a good night tonight.
You cooperating in what way? What, there wasn't a volcano? What do you mean?
They can drive in. There's nothing worse than a snowstorm on this afternoon for Valentine's Day.
True enough. What about the mediocre food, item number four? What do you think about that, Nathan?
Well, I'd say that we're in a lucky spot because being a hotel, a lot of people don't think that they don't think of us when it's time to go out for a meal.
Yeah.
I take a lot of pride in what we do and what we serve there, so I try to put the best items that we have forward, and I hope that anybody would be happy to come eat with us.
I think that it's dangerous for you to take any of this too seriously, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's all in fun.
Absolutely.
Vito's chuckling there, so you understand, right?
I do, yes.
And, you know, the inflated free glass of champagne, is that a noted tactic?
Oh, I've got to go with that's a myth.
It's a myth.
All
right.
I think that any good restaurant wants to serve good food, good value. So I think that they're, you know, to think that they would intentionally inflate food prices just and then give it away, give something away is.
Well, so far you guys are no fun at all. I gotta be honest with you. You're not playing along with the gag. So what makes a good romantic meal? Start with you, Nathan.
More than anything, it's the company you're with.
All right. Fair enough.
It doesn't have to be anything over the top. It doesn't have to be great. It's just, as long as everybody's there getting what they want, mm-hmm. what they enjoy, that's really what makes it.
What's the most popular fare for a Valentine's Day meal?
In your
experience,
I would have to say people are always going to go over the top. They're looking for the surf and turf. They're trying to impress whoever they're with. But again, that's not always the best route to go.
Why? Sounds pretty good to me.
Well, on higher volume nights like that, you're not going to get the best quality, to be honest with you.
So there's something to be said for that, just as far as the quality of the meat or the lobster or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about wine? I mean, do people tend to go for way more expensive wine than they need to on a night like this?
I think so. I think, you know, people, you know, again, it's that the attempt to impress, so they're you know, they're going for that expensive bottle. And I think what you really want to look for is, you know, what you really like.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, trying to, you know, looking at that price tag.
Now, we've had people talk about wine on this Food Friday for many times now. And one thing that's hammered home all the time, it doesn't have to be expensive to be really good.
No. The best wine is the wine you like. That's good, hard, fast rule to go with. So,
and you could work with the chef and pair some of the wines up with some of the different menu options, too, for him.
Are there, I mean, if I know nothing. Okay, so if I go out, I will pick inevitably the wrong wine. Will the wait staff say, well, listen, you can't have this. Blue Nun does not go with a steak.
Oh, no, Blue Nun goes with everything.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Wait a minute, this is news. Hang on, let me write that down. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number, 1-800-348-2551. I've managed to put our guests on edge already, and we have some great folks here from the Marriott on Wolf Road. You've got a macaroni and cheese ball coming up. Tell us about that.
We partner with the Regional Food Bank, and it's one of their major fundraisers. It's tomorrow. They have two servings. It's so popular. They get about 1,600 people or so come, and there's 20 different restaurants serving all different types of macaroni and cheese, and Chef can talk a little bit about his specialty macaroni and cheese he's serving tomorrow.
Please do.
It's very simple. It's just going to be a pepper jack and horseradish macaroni and cheese. We're just going to make a really creamy cheddar jack sauce with jalapeno and peppers in it.
Do you bake it so there's crust on the top?
I don't like to bake it.
Really?
I like it fresh, freshly tossed. It's personal preference.
Yeah.
It's just creamier that way.
There are a lot. I mean, it's a surprising number of mac and cheese recipes out there. My wife's is absolutely amazing. It's an old family recipe. It's baked. Mm-hmm. It's got the crust on it. My kids don't like the crust, but that's my favorite part. Absolutely.
You won't be seeing any of the orange and elbows out there.
No boxed macaroni
no
and cheese.
Mac and
you don't
cheese
want me
tomorrow.
To bring some? 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It is Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday. And you brought some food with you today. What did you bring?
Oh, just we have some Valentine's Day cupcakes and some chocolate-covered strawberries.
Oh, nice. And that's obviously pretty popular on a Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
They look pretty good. I'm going to wait for our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, to get in here because she likes to sample the food first. She's our food taster here. That way the hosts, you know, if you put something in it, she'll tell us. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Zach Malloy, let's take a break here, and then we'll get to the phones. It is Vox Pop on WAMC. Food Friday. How could you lose?
Support for WAMC comes from Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont. Contemporary American cuisine prepared with local sustainable ingredients featuring international beer and wines. VermontFineDining.com and Facebook. And College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It is a Food Friday, and we are joined by Executive Chef Nathan Kutcher of the Albany Marriott, Food and Beverage Director Vito Gaudino, and also we will be welcoming Steve Shifley here today from the Marriott. It's the Albany Marriott, right? Not Colony.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are in Colony.
Yes.
But it is the Albany Marriott. It's on Wolf Road, and the macaroni and cheese ball. It's actually called the TimesUnion.com/Table Hopping Mac and Cheese Bowl to benefit the regional food bank is tomorrow night. And you can find out more, I assume, by contacting the Marriott, yes?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, is here. Jessica, what have we have? What do we have here?
Well, it looks like we have some very delicious chocolate-covered strawberries and some very bright pink Valentine's cupcakes, but I suppose the guests might be able to better describe what I'm looking at.
All right.
I think we've covered our bases nicely there.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with the chocolate-tipped strawberry.
All right, let's try a strawberry. Let's pass them out. You go first. I'm on the air. I'm talking. You eat.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll give some to our guests.
He's been making them all day in the kitchen.
Are they good?
They are delicious.
They look like big strawberries.
We handpicked them ourselves, just so we know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
In this weather? Wow,
yeah,
that's going the extra mile. 1-800-348-2551. All right, you eat that. I'll take a call here. Emily in Plainfield, Massachusetts. Emily, you're on a Food Friday. Welcome.
Thanks, Ray. Ray, do you remember years ago when Rachel Ray used to come on and do food segments with Joe Donahue before she was a brand name?
Sure, I remember that. On the round table and whatnot, sure.
So me and my partner have a traditional now Valentine's Day dinner that was one of her recipes and one of Chef Michael Bounds. They're both round table or Vox Pop recipes.
Sure, yeah. Okay, go.
And Chef Michael Bounds is this Thai broth you make, where you just brown onions and garlic and ginger, and then you boil water. Oh, and you do a little roux. You add a little flour in there, and then you boil 2 quarts of water and take it off the burner and put on all these chopped fresh herbs, like a bunch of cilantro, a bunch of basil, and a bunch of fresh mint. And then you just steep that like tea and strain it, and then you can put your noodles or shrimp or scallops or whatever and some veggies in there and make it. And the idea was that it went well with champagne.
Well, Nathan, does this make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be very fresh, very crisp. It would pair well with champagne. I agree.
All right, so that seems to work out pretty well, Emily.
Yeah, the idea was that you wanted light food so you weren't so full that you can have Valentine's Day fun after.
I see.
I'm just telling you what Susan Arbetter and Michael Ballin had to say at the time.
All right, fair enough.
Then Rachel Ray has this no-bake coated creme, the easiest thing you can imagine. It was, like, brilliant. I still have recipes of hers from the radio back then that I used repeatedly, but this is, like, you put good quality chocolate chips, a cup of them, and an egg, and 2 tablespoons of sugar and 2 tablespoons of dark rum and a pinch of salt in the blender, and you get it going on low, and before you have put on your blender, you boil 2/3 of a cup of milk just as it starts to boil. Then you pour it in a thin stream, and it literally cooks the egg, and you pour these things into, like, demitasse cups, chill it, and put whipped cream on top.
Well, what do you think, Nathan?
Well, you always got to finish the meal with chocolate.
Yeah.
You have to.
That's the rule?
That's right. Absolutely the rule.
That's a good rule.
With the added rum, alcohol always helps. So.
That's another rule I live by, actually. Well done.
And then you top it with whipped cream, and she calls it a no-bake pot de creme. I mean, like I said, this was Rachel Ray back in the day when she came into the WAMC studio to talk food.
I think she almost burned the place down one day. I think she had little Sterno cans in here, and I think it set off the fire alarms, if I recall. It was a long time ago.
I don't remember that, but I couldn't resist calling because literally every Valentine's Day we pretty much drag out these recipes because they're so nice.
Oh, that's terrific.
I like to stay home in your comfortable house and light the candles and have nice food without going out.
Well, you can't miss. Emily, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Well, Steve, before we take the next call, tell me about this mean apple maple cream pie.
Well, most, you know, your traditional apple pies is just cinnamon and sugar. You take apples, heavy cream, maple syrup, mix it all together, a little cornstarch, and bake it off, and it has a great cream filling, and it just has that nice, fresh maple syrup taste to it.
Okay, can I get that anywhere? Do they have that at the Marriott?
No, they don't have it at the Marriott.
Why don't you brew some up?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for doing a good job. I enjoy the show.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm 72 actually now, and when I was a child, my grandfather was the chef for the Tsar of Russia.
Oh, I'll be darned.
And he cooked the best food in the world. And I asked him, I said, what did of all the food you tasted was the best. And he said the best that he ever tasted was a 3-week-old raw potato peels that were in a garbage can because he was in Auschwitz and he didn't eat for 3 weeks, yeah. And that saved his life. He said he hasn't tasted anything better since. So I got some recipes from him and some good advice. First of all, if you're going to have a romantic dinner with somebody, you should have the sex first and then the dinner.
All right. All right.
Or if you don't know the person good enough, you should wait at least 8 hours after eating to have.
Okay. Maybe we can move on to the recipe part. I mean, that was, you know what? That's good, fair,
okay,
and solid advice, but now let's just move away from that.
Okay. Here's the recipe. He said it's more important to cook your guests than to cook the food.
All right, then.
He said you have to send them invitations and tell them that you're going to give them a gourmet meal, which he always did.
Yeah.
But he told them to eat lightly for the meal before.
All right. And, where are you going with this now? Is this going to go over the edge, David?
This is good advice for everybody.
Okay, what do you mean by cook the guests?
Well, when they come, he has the temperature set up to 80 degrees in the house.
I see.
So they come in from the cold, and they're nice and warm.
Yeah.
Then he takes their coats off.
Yeah.
And he puts it on a electric hot blanket so that when they leave, they have a nice warm coat to put on.
I see.
And also, he makes them wait. So they're hungry, a little hungry. And then he turns the temperature down to 60.
What the heck?
So that when they first start saying, oh, we're a little chilly, then he brings out the drinks.
Ah, I see where you're going with this. Okay, now the guys were a little nervous. I got to be honest with you, David.
Okay, okay.
You made them a little nervous. You made me a little nervous.
Well, they probably know this already. They're chefs.
Okay.
So anyway, when they say they're hungry again, that's when he brings them in and he feeds them.
Interesting.
And he feeds them the gourmet stuff, which is like appetizers in small portions.
Amazing.
And then he brings out the comfort food and family style so that they can feed themselves. And when they leave with a hot jacket and a box of food so that the next day they're still talking about the meal because they're eating it.
This was a great call, and frankly, I thought you were going Hannibal Lecter on me, but it worked out really well. David, thanks a lot. That was, I don't know about you, but I was petrified there for a few minutes. We have a 7-second delay, and I was getting ready to use it, but everything was fine. Zach, the engineer, was a little nervous as well. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Thank you to David and New Paltz for making our show so delightful. So what's on the menu for tonight, Nathan?
Appetizers, we have duck confit and apple ravioli with a truffle parmesan cream, or a fried artichoke, a whole artichoke that is battered and fried with a vermouth caper cream.
Nice.
And the third appetizer choice tonight is a roast eggplant roulade.
Explain that to me.
It's a thinly sliced eggplant rolled with fresh oregano, basil, goat cheese, and then it's served over roasted peppers, roped tomatoes, and served with a balsamic reduction.
Nice. Entrees, how do you make a balsamic reduction?
You take the balsamic vinegar and you boil it down till it's syrup.
That's it?
That's it.
Easy.
It's easy.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
Entrees, we have a classical beef Wellington with a mushroom duck sal wrapped in puff pastry.
Delicious.
Another classic is a chicken Oscar with the lump crab, asparagus, and a Bernaise sauce. Then we have a grilled veal chop with the Dijon prosciutto cream, roasted artichoke hearts, and roasted red peppers.
Ooh!
And the final one is a rare seared ahi tuna with a blue polenta, blue cornmeal, and a roasted Japanese eggplant, finished with a sweet tomato caper relish.
Delicious. Have tastes changed in the last 10 or 15 years, do you think, around here?
I would have to say, from being out of the area, it's a little bit behind the times.
The Albany area is a little behind the times?
A little behind the times. It may be.
In what way? In what way? Explain.
We're still around here, we're still more into the comfort, classical things. Whereas other places I've been, they're more looking at fusion and things like that.
But there's nothing wrong with a classic.
No, not
it's
at
a
all.
Nice steak. Or...
I love the classics.
Yeah,
I love everything about them.
So where was your last port of call?
Before here, I was in New Paltz, the Mohonk Mountain House.
And there's literally a difference between...
Not so much there.
Okay.
That was definitely a very traditional setting.
Yeah.
But I would have to say, living out in Boston, they are a little bit more...
Metropolitan?
Yeah, I would say metropolitan. That's probably the perfect word.
All right. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We are here talking about Valentine's food, and we hope you give us a call if you have a question or a remembrance or a recipe you want to share with us. We are joined by Albany Marriott Executive Chef Nathan Kutcher, who started out as a dishwasher and went all the way up to the top. Also with joined by Food and Beverage Director Vito Gaudino, who is also with the Albany Marriott, and Steve Shifley, has a culinary arts degree from Paul Smith and has been at the Albany Marriott for 25 years. So maybe I should better ask you, how have the tastes changed, Steve, in this region over the last 20, 25 years?
I think they've gotten a lot more adventurous. I had lost out with the chef. We were talking about menu development and what we want to do for Valentine's Day. And I had an executive chef that always did a salmon and a heart-shaped puff pastry just because that was
That's
the thing
what
to
he
do.
Always did. Yeah,
exactly. He wasn't buying it with me, though.
All right, so things are, we're more adventurous now than we were.
Yes.
We used to have a steakhouse up on Central Ave, 25, 30, 40 years ago, Valley's Steakhouse. So my parents were going to go out to Valley's, and that was about what you did. Yeah. You went out, you had a steak, you had a salad and a potato, and called it a day. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. You guys want to share any more Valentine anecdotes? Anybody? You know, it's funny. I go back to this Marriott, this Bon Appetit, I should say, article, and about amateurs. Are customers really different? Do you see a different brand of customer on a Valentine's Day?
Oh, I would have to say absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
All right. Who's the worst?
Absolutely. Who's the worst? And forgive me for saying this, but the younger couples who are kind of, you know, it's the new young love and all that kind of wonderful
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
But you know, the young gentleman often trying to impress the young lady, and so there's it's just a lot of things get said and done that, you know, an experienced diner is familiar with the process of dining, whereas maybe a younger couple might ask some odd.
All right, what's the classic tip off that you're dealing with a novice?
There are
Well, give me some of the things they would do. I mean, as someone who goes to a restaurant once in a blue moon, I'm sure I fall into this category, even at my advanced age.
Okay. The ones who asks, you know, to see the wine list, and then, they're kind of, it's the mispronunciations of wines.
Oh,
and
that drives you crazy, doesn't it?
It sets my teeth on edge.
Well, that's why you always just pick a domestic wine.
That's a route to go. Yes.
Yeah.
That's,
you don't have to say any French names. It works out pretty well.
Is that.
Okay.
That's because I think in an experienced diner, you'll see that they're more willing. An experienced diner is more willing to ask the questions.
Right.
Someone who is not so experienced wants to give the impression they know what they're doing, so they kind of throw things out there. Whereas someone who is experienced realizes what they don't know, and so they're looking for the advice of, you know, they want to know, talk to their wait staff about, you know, the wines and the food and stuff that they're selecting, so that they're making good choices.
Do you ask the customers to sniff the cork?
Oh, no.
No, that's old, no, old time
that's,
now?
That's old time. That's.
So, will you give the customer, what does a customer do? Do you sniff the wine? Do you sip the wine when you get a little cup? They'll give you a little bit to taste?
We do. I mean, if it's a new wine for someone, then yes, we'll pour them a taste. We'll pour them a taste.
Otherwise, what you get is what you get?
What you get is what you get, yes. I mean, we want to steer them in the right direction. We try and get, find out what their tastes are, make sure that they're picking the right kinds of wines. A lot of people who are kind of not regular wine drinkers want it, they want something a little bit lighter, a little fruitier, so you want to steer them in that kind of direction. You don't want someone who's used to drinking kind of a California Merlot or Pinot Noir. You don't want to throw a big Italian red on the table.
Well, okay, great. A big Italian red is a great point. Now, what if somebody makes a tremendously bad stylistic choice for the food they're eating? Will you kind of just sort of gently say, well, you know, it might not go that well.
I would give them a little nudge. If, you know, if someone's going to, you know, picks a, you know, a really light sparkling wine and they're, you know, they've ordered, you know, fillets for the table, maybe might say, well, you might want to think about something a little bit, you know, heavier, something that's going to stand up a little bit better to the meal.
Does that usually work?
It does on occasion work out sometimes.
Otherwise, they get the sparkly wine and the fillets.
They get the sparkly wine and hope they enjoy it, and we move on from there.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We're joined by some gentlemen here from the Albany Marriott, and the big event is tomorrow. It's the Mac and Cheese Bowl to benefit the Regional Food Bank of Northeast New York, and we're here talking Valentine's Day cooking and sharing recipes and strange calls from our listeners at home. And David, he won the prize for the call of the year so far. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And miserable staff is number 3 on this list from Bon Appetit. Your staff is not miserable. They're always professional, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A joyous bunch of people.
You're smiling when you say that.
I am, because I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
It's an opportunity to make money. It's a big money night.
Yeah, that's a good point. Absolutely.
And the volume, I mean, Chef, when you are running the show, how tight of a ship is it? In other words, are you like a drill sergeant with all the cooks and all everybody who's in line?
I'd like to think of us more of as a family. I mean, of course, sometimes we have to...
It's a big company. Marriott's a big company. I mean, family can only go so far, right?
Well, I have 14 cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So it's manageable.
Now, are you hands-on cook, or do you just run the show once the evening hits and preparation is done?
In the kitchen all the time.
Yeah.
Started at 5 o'clock this morning. I'll probably go till 8, 9 o'clock tonight. Just on the line with the cooks.
And you know, you gave us an hour today. That's very kind. Let's go to Paul in Albany. Paul, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard you mention the sniffing of the cork.
Yes.
And it's actually a pretty interesting anecdote of where that comes from.
Okay.
It's back in the day, restaurants used to fill wine bottles. Less reputable restaurants would fill wine bottles with inferior wine. So by inspecting the cork, you can see that the cork matches the label on the wine. Because you saw the cork get pierced to take it out, so you know you have a fresh bottle that matches the brand it's supposed to be.
Is anyone smart enough to know that?
Old school people, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Vito, you ever hear of that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes,
and so is that a legitimate reason?
It's legitimate. I mean, there are a ton of reasons why, you know, people used to, you're checking the cork to make sure that the bottle was stored properly. It was, you know, proper moisture in the cork, smelling it to, you know, make sure there's not an off aroma, that kind of thing. There's, ton of reasons to do it. But I have, in fact, heard that, you know, that it is not that, again, those old school kind of... Not so reputable, great way to put it.
Yeah.
Places would refill their bottles and then just recork the wines. And so you would check the wine for the label and size to make sure that it matched the wine that you were actually getting.
Paul, did you ever have that happen to you?
No, never.
No?
I'm really not a wine aficionado. So, you know, I would definitely just say what's good with this and they'd recommend something. So I'm not highbrow enough to really care.
Right, and me too. I mean, it's very tough to do with beer. So that's, you know. Paul, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Yep, bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Pete in Saugerties is next. Hiya, Pete.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Oh, wonderful. I was wondering if the chefs actually had a suggestion on what I could pick up on my way home. My wife and I have been together for about 2 years, and we are expecting our first child in May.
Oh, congrats.
Oh, thank you very much. So, obviously, wine is off the table. but I was wondering what I could do at a local grocery store to create a romantic dinner for my wife and I.
Beautiful.
One of my favorite things to do is just go into the grocery store and see what's new and what's I haven't used in a while. Is there anything that you know that she really likes?
Well, she really likes salmon, but because of the pregnancy, I'm going to try to steer away from the seafood.
Yep, okay. Mm-hmm.
But she's a major pasta fan.
Vito would probably be better at this. I'm not a fan of pasta myself.
You're not a fan of pasta?
I'm not.
Oh, no.
That's more news. What the heck is going on here? Who am I here with?
Oh, that's a shame.
All right.
Fortunately for you, I have an avowals in my name that I'm very familiar with pasta. Pasta is a great thing because there's so many things you can do with it. And especially if you're, I know when my wife had, we were having our kids that, you know, you're very conscious of, you know, the quality of the food you're eating and making sure there's nutritional value and that kind of thing. So pasta with, honestly, just some fresh steamed, fresh veggies. Saute it up a little bit, some grilled, maybe a grilled chicken breast, little touch of olive oil, a little salt and pepper, and then some fresh grated cheese on top. Get you a nice, again, we're going back to our previous caller who said, eat light so you're not too full for whatever.
Yeah. I already took care of that.
All right.
One would hope that doesn't end, but. But I would go that route. Go something light, fresh, and some good pasta is always
nice.
A good thing to go with.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Thank you very much.
Hey, no Pete, problem. And you know, you should check with her doctor. You know, sometimes, I got five kids, and so the doctors would say to the at times in the pregnancy, say to my wife, you know, you can have one glass of wine once in a while. And so
It might be an option this evening, but she's not typically an alcohol drinker.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then I wouldn't even... Don't get her started, then. keep your costs down as well. Pete, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you very much. And Ray, you do a great job.
I appreciate the call very much. Let's go to... Oh, let's take a break. Zach, we'll take a break, and then we'll get back to the calls. 1-800-348-2551. By golly, it's Food Friday. We're snowed in. We're shoveled out. We're ready to rock.
Support for WAMC comes from Rare Earth Wine Bar on The Circle, Glens Falls, New York. Now open, specializing in pairing food and wines from around the world, Rare Earth Wine Bar on Facebook. And Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitecture.com.
One 1-800-348-2551 is our number. By gosh, it's a Food Friday, and we have folks from the Albany Marriott here: Executive Chef Nathan Kutcher, Food and Beverage Director Vito Gaudino, and Steve Shifley. And it's nice to have you here with us at home. I hope you have made it through the storm okay. Let's go back to the phones and Cindy in Saugerty. Cindy, you're up.
Hi. I just wanted to mention something romantic and nostalgic that someone can do with the cork. A couple. Who are, or even a family, or someone who wants to commemorate the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
If you select wine, something I used to do when I was much younger, which I'm no longer.
Me too.
Put a little slit in the cork, and write the phone number down of the person whom you're with. And you, in the old days, you'd stick a quarter in there and you'd save it. And the whole idea was you'd save it, and years later you'd find it again with the quarter in there and the phone number.
Brilliant.
And you call them up.
Oh, I love it.
Remember that time we shared a bottle of wine?
That's nice. I mean, how many corks did you have?
Quite a few when I was younger.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
Good for you.
All right, Cindy. Thanks for the call.
All righty. Bye.
Let's go to Margo in Albany. Hi, Margo.
Hi.
You're on.
Hi. I was just calling today with a fun romantic thing for some of your listeners that may be out there snowed in today. The Siena College alumni Facebook page is celebrating Siena Sweethearts. They're Siena students that met at the college and married, and they're asking them to put up a picture on the Facebook page to celebrate today. So if you look at it, it's very, very sweet, charming, and it's all kinds of ages, old people, young people. It's really neat.
Well, that's terrific. That's a great idea.
So I just wanted to get the word out to any alumni listening. Look it up.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Margo. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. And, well, gosh, you got to get back to the kitchen pretty quick, eh?
We got a little more prep to do for tonight, yeah.
So how much prep goes into it? You said you started early this morning. Well, and then when do you start serving dinner?
We'll start dinner at 5 o'clock tonight. Serve from 5 to 10 tonight.
But you serve all day long,
absolutely,
lunch and everything else. So
being a hotel, we're open breakfast, lunch, dinner.
All right, let's go over to John in Saratoga. John, you're up, and more on the cork. You're in. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to I wasn't able to hear the entire recitation by the caller about cork, but I heard him say it had something to do with the selling of wine, and then I had to turn the car off. If that's true, that's flapdoodle. That is not why I sell the cork. Cork is simply a vegetative matter. It grows on a tree.
All right.
Right? And it absorbs, when you put it in the top of the wine bottle, it absorbs the aromas in the wine. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple. It's just, you smell it because it's an indicator whether the wine is crap. You know, if it's off, if it smells like shoes or something.
Right.
That's the only reason.
Okay. So if the wine has gone bad, then you'd be able to find out by sniffing the cork.
That would be one indicator, sure.
Okay. But I think this other caller mentioned that you can tell by looking at the cork if it's the same, if it goes with the bottle that they're serving. That's what he meant.
Well, that's fair. I mean, that's a fair point. I think the additional point with respect to cork is right now they have plastic things they put in them, right? And a lot of them are screw tops. There's no point sniffing the plastic or sniffing the rubber or sniffing the screw top.
Right.
Which, if it's cork, you know, then it's a nice thing. You don't want to serve your date, you know, something that smells like unpleasantries.
No. Certainly not on the first date, anyway.
Not the first date. Thereafter is a whole other issue.
Exactly. After that, the standards go down. John, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, cheers.
Bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551. Henry in Saratoga is on. Henry, go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question. One often sees chefs portrayed in movies as holding the pans with their aprons rather than using insulated handles on the pans. I was wondering why that occurs.
Well, even when the handles are insulated, it's sitting on top of a fire, so the insulated handle gets extremely hot as well.
I see.
Yeah.
So the insulated handle is no great advantage to you, so you eliminate it.
Absolutely not. It's not at all.
Thank you, sir.
Henry, thank you very much. Interesting call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. What do you guys think about this Food Friday? You having fun?
This is not a bad time, yeah.
All right, that's tepid enthusiasm. Well, hang in there. There are 13 minutes to go and more calls on the way at 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to line one. Who's calling? Hello?
Hello, are you?
You're on. I just don't have your name. Who are you?
Oh, I'm Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. Where are you calling from?
From Saugerties on my way to Kingston.
Well, how are the roads?
The roads are good. You know, the highway guys are fabulous. They really keep them clean.
They've done a heck of a job. They really have. And they worked very hard for a long time. All right, so go ahead with your question.
My question is about mashed potatoes, but first I have to make a little statement.
Okay.
I used to be a cook in a Zen Buddhist monastery,
mm-hmm.
and when I made really great food for everybody, but when I made mashed potatoes, they would practically come up and kiss my hand. Mashed potatoes. So tell me what these chefs think about mashed potatoes and how can you make them even more glorious?
That's a great question.
That's my question.
All right. Mashed potatoes don't need too much, in my opinion. Just roast garlic, salt, pepper, heavy cream, sour cream, and butter. That's all I would add to it.
How did you do them, Cindy? Is it Cindy?
Kathleen.
Kathleen, well, I'm sorry.
I just got a recipe for Super Bowl Day, and I made myself twice-baked potatoes, and I believe it was on television. And what you do is you bake the potato, scoop them out, massage them with olive oil, and take the potatoes, onions, you saute onions, garlic, and some oregano.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other little thing you sauteed there. Can't quite remember. It was the onions, the garlic, and it. And then you stuff and cheese. Then you would grate the cheese. So you put this all in a bowl. You grate some cheese, you stuff them back into the potato, salt and pepper, obviously, and then you should put a little piece of prosciutto.
Ooh.
But I put some bacon chopped up in it.
Nice.
And I had one of those the other day, and it was like I had arrived. It was the best.
Well, I'll have to have you on the show sometime. Right? Well done. Thank you very much for the call.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy Valentine's Day.
And to you. Bye now. Let's go over to, I hit the wrong button here. Skip in Mechanicville. Skip, you're on.
Hey guys. How's it going?
Good.
Happy Valentine's Day, and thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just want to comment on some of the chefs that were talking about pairing wines with food, and sometimes it can be a little bit of a daunting task for the newbies, some people that, you know, get a little scared when it comes to that.
Sure.
I actually recently had an amazing meal in downtown Albany, and they take the guesswork right out of it. It's called Yono's Restaurant.
Sure.
And they have a tasting menu there where the sommelier has already paired up all the wines that go with each course. And there's three or four different types of tasting menus that you can have. And the sommelier is there, and they have different glasses for each type of wine to accentuate the nose of the wine and where it hits your palate. It's really quite an experience.
Vito, you want to weigh in?
I have to say, I mean, anytime you're talking about Yono Pronoma, you're talking about a classic in the Capital District.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, if you get an opportunity to go out and find a restaurant that's got a good pairing menu, it's a wonderful opportunity to get to experience some wines that you may
and
not
to
normally
learn.
Try and to learn. I think that's a fantastic thing. Anytime you get a chance to do that, because again,
I was actually really really shocked at how well it all went in the spacing of the food and the portions. It was just really well done, and it's a gorgeous place.
They do a wonderful job. Another thing that's always a great thing when you're looking to try some new wines, a lot of restaurants will do flights of wines. They'll pick
what do you mean a flight?
It's they'll pick a particular winery, a particular varietal, and they'll choose four or five different types of from light and sweet to kind of the heaviest, so you get three or four different types of wines. So you get, and like a 3 ounce pour, so you get to taste them all, to kind of either, so you're either comparing a winery or a particular type of grape, or so you get a comparison so you can find what you like.
Do you like any of the New York wines that have been coming around the pike lately?
They're making strides.
Okay.
In what's available in New York, I mean the number of wineries in New York is unbelievable. Some of the new up and coming ones out in Long Island have got some fantastic wineries. You know, obviously, the Cayuga Lake region has got some great stuff.
Yeah.
And they're doing some interesting things because they choose such a different variety of wines, and they're the kind of grapes they're working with, and you can get some Pinot Blancs, and just there's so many different things that you can get in New York that aren't the kind of standard California fare
That's one thing I've learned from doing this show. There really is such a difference geographically. So in other words, a New York wine, maybe the same type of wine, doesn't taste anything like a Washington State wine or a California wine.
Absolutely, absolutely. Where something is grown makes all the difference in the world. You take an old world wine where you're tasting the ground it's grown in, and then California wines is definitely fruit forward. You're tasting that grape right away. New York wine's very similar. You're getting that. There's always that hint of that Concord grape in most New York wines, so you get that real.
I would say
rich
specifically in the Western New York.
Yes,
yes.
Yes. Well, obviously, yes. But you get that real rich flavor. So it's you can almost kind of guess where something's come from by the flavor.
That makes some really interesting dry Rieslings. I think New York State dry Rieslings are really good because the climate in New York State and the Finger Lakes and Germany are pretty close, and they make some really interesting ones out there on Cayuga Lake in that area.
Yeah, and they're well respected.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a Riesling fan, so I can't really speak from experience, but do they stand up to some of the German Rieslings?
Yeah, they do. You can have it a really dry Riesling or a really sweet Riesling, so they run the gamut of taste.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. Still a few minutes here if you want to jump in and get your call in. Nathan Kutcher and Vito Gaudino and Steve Scheifele are here from the Albany Marriott. And, of course, a big night at the Marriott. It's Valentine's Day, and we've been having some fun talking about various ways people share their Valentine's Day and the things that they cook. And Well, frankly, we've had a few interesting calls today. 1-800-348-2551. You guys won't soon forget this one. All right. So the table hopping mac and cheese bowl is coming up tomorrow. It is. What time does that start, Steve?
It starts at 11 o'clock.
Okay, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, and that is at the Albany Marriott on Wolf Road. And 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. So the domestic wines, Vito, I'll go back to you. Are in general, how do they stack up as opposed to European wines today versus 20 years ago? Oh, are we making strides as a country and in our wine?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, wines today versus, you know, I mean.
Is it just skill or is it now generations of wine, of grape growing?
It's a mix of both. As we learn to use the grapes that we grow here to make the wine, to bring out their best flavor rather than, I mean, when wine growing in you know, the New World started, it was an attempt to reproduce wines that were already being grown in Europe.
Yeah.
So as we learn what's, you know, what creates the best flavors and the best use of our, you know, our soils and things in you know, in California, Oregon, California. They're even starting, you know, they're doing some wine growing, and there's some wines coming out of Texas now that are interesting.
Texas wines?
Texas wines.
And something
wines.
That you can drink. It's okay?
Well, they're getting there.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Texas, but you...
not yet.
Not they're certainly on the market. They're out there. New World wines are, you know, leaps and bounds into becoming some of the best wines you can drink.
And will the Europeans still turn up their nose at them?
Probably. And there are people like me who just love that. I want to taste the dirt in my bottle, and I love big old world reds. I love to be able to taste the soil it was grown in.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things about South American wines, you really get a good sense of the flavor of the soil and the minerals in the soil.
Yeah.
It gives it almost a nice kind of tangy, peppery flavor to those. So
how about Australian wines?
Australian wines, I mean, you get a good peppery Shiraz from Australia. And
there seem to be a lot of Australian wines out there.
There are. And the nice thing about them, they're all nice, kind of middle-of-the-road, easy-drinking wines that, you know, they're a safe bet. They're something you're gonna enjoy.
All right, let's go to Lori in Latham. Hi, Lori, you're on.
Hi there. I'm married and I have two kids. One's 8 and one's 10, and I still want to fix a romantic dinner tonight, but of course we'll have the kids there.
Sure.
And I'd always heard about people who would, when they propose, they would put the ring, like, in the dish and have the restaurant, you know, cook the ring in the dish and bring it. And I thought, how fun is that? And I wanted to, one, if Chef Nathan's ever done that, and two... What kind of thing could I put in a dish that would be safe and not, like, melt all over the place, but be fun for
and not
kids?
Chokeable. I'm always afraid, you know, you put a ring in a wine glass, it goes down your throat.
We were talking about that on the ride over.
Actually, yes.
All right, so what do you think, guys? Give her an idea.
Oh, it's tough. Because again, we were kind of joking on the way over here about, you know, not putting things in food because for that
choke,
reason,
yeah.
you don't know it's there.
I'm sure you have to lawyer that,
you know,
now,
yeah.
especially at the Marriott. Gosh,
you'll be out the next morning looking, you know, getting crowns and things to, you know. I mean, it absolutely is a romantic idea of, you know, it's kind of a fun way to, you know, think about doing that. I would say go with something. If you're going to go with anything, go drop something in the white wine that's clear
you can see. All right.
You
what
know.
Would it be, though?
That wouldn't be fun for the girls.
We look for something
maybe
for the kids.
I should make something different. Yeah, because I want it to be romantic for
my
husband.
Oh, this is for the kids.
Oh, for the kids.
For
both.
You can always go with a sparkling cider or sparkling grape juice or something like that.
You can make a dessert and do like a brownie and a little pudding and then put some
$5 bill inside.
Whipped topping on and get some gummy worms and have gummy worms and have it look like a, you know.
I don't know why. It doesn't matter how young they are. They still love money.
Yep.
You've got that right. Well, Lori, have a great Valentine's. I hope you're working out. Maybe next Valentine you can tell us what you did.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks very much. Okay, well. Guys, I told you there would be some interesting calls today, and by golly, we've done it again. Thanks to everybody who called in. Support for WAMC comes from Rare Earth Wine Bar on the Circle, Glens Falls, New York, now open, specializing in pairing food and wines from around the world. Rare Earth Wine Bar on Facebook. Barry Price Architecture since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics, barrypricearchitecture.com. Once again, I want to thank Nathan Kutcher, Vito Gaudino, and Steve Scheifele of the Albany Marriott for being with us. And thanks to everybody who called in today. Thanks to our engineer, Zachary Malloy. Ryan Anglum took your calls. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Thanks again for being with us. You can find out more about all the stuff we talked about at our website, wamc.org/voxpop. And from there, you can leap to the Food Friday section of our website, or you can just search Food Friday. You'll find all sorts of tips and recipes and some really interesting fun stuff, wamc.org. Thanks again for being with us. Have a great Valentine's Day. Next week, we'll be back with we won't have a Vox Pop on Monday. It's a holiday. But on Tuesday, Alan will be back with an open forum. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned now for a news update.